Thanks, Abdul. That's really interesting. Robin, I was wondering if you could speak about your decisions about the representation of Black history and whether or not to include the transatlantic slave trade as a chapter in your book.
When we originally planned the book about teaching Black history, we didn't have a chapter planned on slavery because, our kind of vision was we want to teach Black history, we want to teach African history, we want to teach Black British history. We don't want Black history to mean the history of slavery because in a lot of schools, that's what it means in England. When you ask them, do you do any Black history? And say, yeah, we do slavery. Sometimes they watch every episode of Roots and they call that teaching slavery. We wanted something different. We realized that we didn't have a chapter about the one thing that teachers were going to do in the classroom. And so we needed to actually think about an inquiry on slavery. So we did do it in the end. And we said that if we're going to teach it, we don't want it taught as a part of the economy, which is quite often where actually it comes within the Industrial Revolution section. Now, okay, it is a trade and it's connected to Industrial Revolution, but that's not its origins. And that's not probably its most significant thing. The most significant thing is not the impact on Britain's wealth. Its most significant thing is on the way the world sees people of Africa and sees people of the African diaspora. I think it's James Walvin who says that the British didn't become slavers because they were racist. They become racist because they decided to be slavers. The two things happen very quickly. Once they start slaving, they then start being racist very, very fast. But his view is that it's that way round. And therefore, this topic was about the construction of race, which is why we decided to view it from that point of view. How did this enslavement of Africans contribute to the construction of race? And we decided to start the inquiry with a familiar to strange idea. We need to start the students with something familiar. So we started with racial profiling. The first time we did it, we started with an American example. And actually, we were challenged by teachers to say, why are you doing it from America? Can't you find an English example of racial profiling? So we did, and we got a clip that was about racial profiling in England. And that's the opening. And then we asked the students, well, okay, this is what's going on. What questions should history students ask about this process of racial profiling? So we're getting the students to ask the question, well, when did it start? And that's how the whole inquiry begins. When did this idea of racial profiling begin?
And practically speaking, how did you introduce racial profiling in the classroom and link it to constructions of race?
We've got the pictures where we've got the John Blank, and then there's this the Duke of Perth page boy who has this collar around his neck. And as you know, okay, we've got the 16th century here, and we've got the 18th century here. Something happens in between this time. And that's really the prompt for the students to start questioning, okay, well, what is the process that's taken place? And it makes them really interested in that, something which might be quite dry, you know, sort of the racial construction of on plantation societies in that period. But they want to understand how people can go from depicting Black Africans in one way to another in quite a short period of time.
And what the teachers who've done the inquiry in many London schools, the starter activity of the racial profiling is supposed to be, I mean, in some schools they'd be saying, oh, 10 minutes, you're beyond your time now. We thought maybe 15, 20 minutes. In some schools, it's the whole lesson. Giving them that opening to the inquiry just opens up a discussion about race in the classroom that these young people have never been allowed to have. They've never had the chance to talk about it. And they just want to talk for an hour about the existence of this thing called race because it's never been spoken.
I mean, I just think the kind of use of the inquiry is just such a powerful way that you all do that work. And I just wanted to underscore something that Abdul said early on about opening the door to that conversation. And I think one of the first steps actually is to dislodge that sense that race is something biological. If it's not natural, then how does it come to be? And I think that's just such a powerful combination in terms of the work that you all are doing and ways of teaching about race. I just wanted to sort of say, I think of really getting people and unsettling the pervasiveness of biological thinking about race, I think is so important in terms of allowing us to have the historical conversation about race.